right, ladies and gentlemen, 6:42. Welcome to the show. It's TDM time. Terry, you're laying down some good beat right here. What is this?
This is Sweet Home Chicago, Buddy Guy, who's in town tonight to kick off the Jazz Festival. Doesn't get much better than that, man. Friday night, hello. Yeah.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
All right, now.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, sing it. You know the words. Come on.
Back to the same old place.
Sweet home, Chicago.
You know, I was in Winnipeg. I saw him, how many years ago I saw him. He was 50 years old. 50.
Wow.
A young guy. And just ripped it. Went backstage, hung out with him. Just the most interesting guy. Every time he comes into Vancouver, and he's quite a bit older than that right now, he still does it.
Oh,
he still gets, you know, that's what the blues is, like B.B. King. Those guys can play till they're 90.
Do you know who he credits for saving his career?
Who?
Canada. He could not break out of a crippling small Chetland circuit that he was placed in because of his skin color, the social times. And he came up to Canada. Somebody convinced him, I think it was Richard Flohill, to come up to Toronto and play their jazz and blues festivals. And all of a sudden, he was playing to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. He couldn't believe that he could actually have a career. At the time, he was driving a tow truck.
Wow. Yeah.
And he literally to this day still says Canada started the ball rolling.
Blood on the frets, man, with that guy. Just love him. Every time he comes to town, I rush over to see him. He never lets me down.
And he's now it's all come his way. You know, he's in the Blues Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all that stuff. And here he is Friday night in Vancouver to kick off the Jazz Festival. It's very cool. Now, I'm going to close with another Jazz Festival specialist. Very, very fine talent. Also, the Campbell Brothers are on the North Shore now. Campbell Brothers play Sacred Steel. They are from church, from Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. Their church actually has now forbid them to play this Sacred Steel music. And they're still on the road and still playing. And they're all lap steel. And they just wail. they'll shred a sound system. And so they're on the North Shore tonight.
Nice.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
You know my friend Dave Pratt.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
How we doing?
Buddy.
since we're talking a little rock and roll kind of stuff, what was your reaction to Neil Young suing Donald Trump? How cool was that yesterday?
Well, you knew that would happen.
But you know what? Because
you can't take his music.
But I love that. I mean, there's Trump trying to be Trump, and he didn't even think about the fact that he didn't own the rights to the song. And,
no.
And Neil Young, who is very left-wing, as you know, the first thing they did is they sued his ass.
Did you also watch that when they, like Trump was actually choreographing from the stage, he'd written this two-hour speech, and he's telling the guy to bring the music up and then cut. Yeah, he's saying, okay, take it down because he wants to talk some more. And, you just can't take people's music and do that. Yeah. But they loaded
that whole event with the announcement with paid people to wear his T-shirts. These are up-and-coming stars that went through an agency for $50 a head just to make somebody to show up there.
Oh.
What an idiot.
I'll tell you, every time I hear Rockin' in the Free World now, I'll think of Trump. I guess that was so funny. We were joking about that yesterday. I said, we got to mention that to Mulligan.
On the Daily Show, John Stewart sat there and he was almost in tears. He said, I am so going to miss this. I am so going to miss this. This man is manna from heaven. I love this man. He'll give me something every day.
Gold, Jerry.
Absolutely.
Gold.
Starting with the hair and moving forward.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, boys, anything else, Dave?
Oh, well, just the other thing with John Stewart. We were talking about this earlier on the show. That the report that came out yesterday said that the network was actually thinking of going with Chris Rock to replace Jon Stewart, and they were also talking to Amy Poehler. Chris Rock, I can't see it because Chris Rock just does Chris Rock at 100 miles an hour, and you can't do a show like that.
Not sustain it.
Amy Poehler would have killed it.
Amy
Poehler
would
have killed it.
And she said, like, no, like that. So they called it the quickest no in history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because she has a career.
Yes.
See.
Mm.
They both have careers, see. Like, for example, Inside Out. Oh, nice lead-in. Way to go, Seth.
See how we did that?
Inside Out is Pixar at its very, very best, and they're headed for the Oscars. This is going to be considered, this movie right here, will be considered in the running for the best film of the year.
Aren't they little characters inside the head?
They are, in
somehow?
Fact, 11-year-old girl. She's moved with her family from Minnesota to San Francisco, and she's very confused. and very upset, as you could imagine, 11-year-old would be. And inside of her, you see this community. There's joy, there's fear, there's anger, there's disgust, there's sadness, played by Amy Poehler, Bill Hader, Lewis Black as Hanker.
I love Lewis Black. Yeah.
I love that. Mindy Kaling and Phyllis Smith. I mean, it's brilliant and very brave of Pixar to step out, because they could lay him out. They really could. Here's a movie, guys. Here's a movie where the adults are going to laugh harder than the kids.
Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is also in it.
Yes,
can you imagine?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I like that. And if I would have done one totally and take the 11-year-old kid out, put an adult in there, have all these voices, and call it Fire in the Head. Fire in the Head.
I know. There's loneliness. There's other things, other places that they go, and other characters. But, man, I'll tell you, this Inside Out is really good, David.
Cool. The other thing I liked about it, and I haven't seen it yet, but the fact that they were, again, two of the best voiceover guys on the planet are Frank Oz, as you know, and John Ratzenberger from Cheers and all that. And they do a lot of stuff with Pixar. And, again, they found a way to get them into it. So that, to me, was also a nice little sidebar.
Oh, they knew.
They are so good.
No, they knew they were onto something. Second film is a very small and very, you know, if you can win, the Sundance Film Festival. Okay. But then you got to come out and play with the big boys with the big marketing dollars, right? So this is Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. It's like Snakes on a Plane. You kind of know from the title what the heck you're going into. This is was a big hit at Sundance, and now it's going to have to. And actually, slowly they've been rolling it out. Very smart on the rollout. The story of a very bookish teen who has a buddy, and they make home movies. They just make because they're film buffs, right? And they make friends with and support a dying schoolmate. And they feel helpless. They want to do something, so they include her in the movies that they're making. And it's just a supporter to give her something to look forward to on the day. And this is going to pull at your heartstrings, really, because the movies that they make are Senior Citizen Kane, Eyes Wide Butt. You know, they make fun of everything that we see around us. The parents, by the way, are played by Nick Offerman and Molly Shannon. So you know there's laughs in here. But also, you just want... Here's a movie you can fall in love with. It's called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Okay? Small film. Watch for that. Don't let it get rolled over by all the other yelling about films. Testament of Youth is the story of a British legend, Vera Brittain, whose 1930s memoir of World War I stars Alicia Vielander. You know Alicia?
No.
Ex Machina. She's the very handsome robot, half woman, half robot that we saw about a month and a half ago. She, by the way, boys, I'm telling you now, sad, she's going to be a big, big star. She's an actress. She's not just beautiful, which
half
helps.
Woman, half robot.
Oh my God! Anyway, she has three more films coming up this summer, this year alone. And basically, it's a story of a woman who's supposed to go to university during World War I rolls up, but ends up in the battlefield as a nurse. So it's a really good story. All right, so that's it. That's what you got out there.
Here's the one thing that I wanted to throw you.
You're Dave, right?
Yep. From time to time. You'd think after about 40 years he'd remember, but no. to understand that is to understand Terry. Yesterday, the trailer for the new movie called Boulevard came out, and it's the last time that we see Robin Williams.
Yeah,
it's the last movie that he did, and it's the trailer now is out. How are you going to feel when you see that movie? Because I don't even know if I want to see it, even though you know what I mean.
I'm going to feel like I feel now. A great sadness and a
yes.
great loss. Great sadness
but
and a great
But it's one
loss.
Of those things that you have to do. You have to see it.
You have to
you
see
have
it.
You have to go see it.
Actually,
you have
know
to
what?
Say goodbye.
I had the same situation when John Lennon died.
Yeah.
Can I go and listen to this music? And I was really compelled to listen to the music. Mm. I thought I owed it to him to listen to that music. It was a great album. And the same thing with Robin. His body of work, we'll watch it for the rest of our lives.
And yet, you know what? Everything... Before this movie, yeah, you're right, because it is a part of what we grew up with, right? It's the television, it's the movies, it's the whole career, it's the stand-up, it's all of that stuff. But this, for whatever particular reason, just seems a little creepy because, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is, but and you're talking about Lennon, same thing. The interview that he did, when I finally did hear the interview that he had given, a couple of days before in L.A., before he flew back to New York, I didn't want to hear it.
Well, they're taken so quickly,
yes.
Right? It happens like that in the snap of a finger, so you don't have time. It takes time to deal with that, and all of a sudden, his music with John Lennon and the movie with Robin is basically, you've got time now with Robin. I think it's time to say goodbye. I'm going to go see it.
They actually passed each other in Central Park one day, Robin Williams and John Lennon, and nodded and smiled and said, hello, hi, how are you? And then just kept going.
Wow.
They had
about 10 seconds. Because if they had gotten together, then they would have attracted a crowd. So,
did you like Fisher King?
I loved Fisher King. I love Fisher King. No, here's the deal. I'm doing interviews with Robin Williams about Fisher King. And in my research, I realized that about 9 or 10 studios had passed on the script. One of them was Disney. And as soon as I said to him, can you imagine if Disney had made this? He did all the characters of Fisher King as the Disney characters. He would goofy go, oh my God.
And Jeff Bridges in that film was unbelievable as a radio talk show host that it goes sideways. If you get a chance to see that film, that's one of my top 10. Top 10.
Attaboy. Say, Dave.
Yes, Terry.
It's Dave, right?
Yes.
you any rock and roll stuff? Because I got to get into my wine here. Anything?
Oh, the...
I love that.
You've got a minute and a half.
Brian Wilson on Saturday turns 73. I wanted to pass that
by. Well, then go and see Love and Mercy. Go and see that movie. It's out there now. All right, on the big show tomorrow on 1410 at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Good.
We're going to talk to Joe Luckhurst from Road 13, and that's what I poured you first, the 2013 GSM. And Joe just wrote, I said, just let me make sure I got what I got in there. Grenache, Syrah, Mourvedre, 81 Grenache, 12% Syrah, and 7% Mourvedre. So we are doing Rhone wines. We are doing great big wines.
That
in
is
Okanagan.
Delicious.
Isn't that great?
Oh.
That's just starting
may
now.
May I?
No. Because I got to pour you this one.
Okay.
No, here. This is...
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
From Portugal.
Portugal.
This is
Portugal.
Domingos. Because one of the guests on the show is Domingos Suarez Franco. He's from Portugal. He's a great guy. He's just a wonderful guy. And also, the Wine Diva is going to be talking about Fonseca, who are 200 years old and make incredible port. All right? And finally, we're going to go to Seleni Winery in Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. By the way, next week on Tasting Room Radio, it's the 5th annual Friends Food, Fluids, and Fishing event. We're just going fishing. So this is a Portuguese big red wine from the Douro Valley. It's Domingos 2012.
I would open that for an extra hour. Yes. I'm liking the people from Road 13 here.
Yeah.
Loving that. Loving that.
You open that and it's ready
to
go.
Can I get that today?
As soon as they get labels on it. You can actually take that one with you.
I'm taking that with me. Can I?
Yeah, you can.
Because that's why I love you coming in here. Because I know what I'm doing Friday night.
Dave, try to stay with us.
I'm with you.
All right, Terry, what are you leaving us with?
One of the guests is Lisa Fisher for the Jazz Festival. Lisa Fisher, since 1989, has been the female voice on the stage with the Rolling Stones. And she's the one that steps out and does Gimme Shelter.
Yes.
Each and every night. So what she's doing this summer, what she's doing is she's doing the Stones in Chicago. Then she's doing the Ottawa Jazz Festival, Edmonton Jazz Festival, Vancouver and Victoria Jazz Festivals. And then the next night is back on stage with the Rolling Stones. You got to see this young lady. This is what she brings.
I get goosebumps every time I hear this. So good, huh?
Go see Lisa Fisher. She's at the Vogue Theater. She's going to be great. Have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Terry. Happy Father's Day to you, my friend, to your children who still call you pops. All right, 7:56 with the bro, TDM, Dave Pratt. We're back. We're going to come see you. TSN 1040. Rock it out.